It's the Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy Show, making healthy living fun for everyone.
I want to congratulate you on the show. It's really great.
Well, thank you. That's great to hear.
And I actually have your book, You Can't Lose Weight Alone. I love it.
You guys are excellent. I check you guys out every week.
I love your show. And every week I learn something new, so I think it's great.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
Join Dr. Fitness.
You know, it's no longer a six-pack. Now it's the eight-pack and the 12-pack.
And the Fat Guys.
Or what I have, the pony keg.
They deliver the skinny on Getting Skinny.
Doctor, another fine day in the studio, and we almost didn't make it, did we?
What a day. Crazy, crazy day here in the South. I'm sure everybody heard all the bad weather that we had yesterday. I lived it. I went through it, so it was crazy
for
me.
Did your car get picked up? A lot of cars got picked up.
Well, my car did not get picked up. I did not get picked up, but I did actually have to go into into the hallway of my office building, into the stairwell for a good half hour with strangers, and got to meet a lot of people I never met before, which is interesting.
That's nice.
Yeah. So,
silver lining.
Yes. But yes, I my day job, as you know, I'm not always a superhero as Dr. Fitness.
No, you have a day job.
You know, like Superman, what was he? Clark Kent?
He was mild-mannered Clark Kent.
Mild-mannered, and he worked as a reporter?
Clark Kent was a reporter.
He was a reporter.
Peter Parker was a photographer.
Peter Parker was a photographer.
They like to work in journalism.
I am undercover. I don't know if people know this, but I am undercover as a chiropractor.
Chiropractor?
Yes.
Who would have thought?
I work...
So the doctor in Dr. Fitness is for a chiropractor,
right?
Not a PhD in exercise physiology.
Not a PhD in exercise physiology.
Or an MD.
Nope, not an MD. What else can he be a doctor of?
He could be a dentist or called doctors.
Yes.
Those are fake doctors.
Anyone
as well.
Else? Podiatrist, right? Podiatrist?
Yeah.
I could be a podiatrist.
And all those weird iatrists.
Oh, yeah, naturopath. I could have been a naturopath and I could be doctor. So, but I work as a chiropractor. So I work in North Alabama, and yesterday my day started off just wacky to begin with because I woke up, and for me to not run on a Wednesday.
That's crazy talk.
There are 2 days that during the week that are must days for me that I run, and I usually knock out about between seven and 7.5 miles each day, a Tuesday and a Wednesday. Those are my big running days. Yesterday I woke up and it just, what happened was I woke up at about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I just happened to just turn on the radio and went on my computer and just happened to see that there were bad storms coming through northern Alabama. So I couldn't believe what I saw. I mean, I couldn't believe the rain. I'd never seen rain that strong coming through. And northern Alabama got hammered. Now, we got hammered with one storm that came across at around 11:30 Central Time, but 12:30 here. That was really bad. The newscasters were saying, because I was listening to it on the computer, on the internet, they were saying that the worst hadn't yet even come through and that they had spotted. I mean, there was, I think it's probably been one of the most tornadic activity days.
Tornadic?
Tornadic. The most amount of tornadoes.
That sounds like a doctor word.
Yes.
Tornadic.
But there
I
were
tore
the most,
my tornadic.
There was over 160 tornadoes in yesterday.
I wonder who the guy who counted them were.
I don't know the device that they have, but But the thing I will tell you, because I was able to come home to Atlanta last evening.
Did you
evening,
see any with your eyes?
There's
163. Alabama's not that big of a state.
Well, here's the deal. I think the misperception of the tornado is that you see the classic tornado in like on Storm Chasers in a field in Kansas or Oklahoma with
exactly.
The guy going, "Hey Bob, look at her blow.
There
she
is."
And you see,
get
and you
cover.
See, like over like a cornfield, and it looks like that funnel, and it looks it's so dramatic and so awesome looking. Well, the ones that were hitting Alabama yesterday were, first of all, it was raining. You couldn't even see because of the rain. The rain was so strong. So you know, all the cameras that they had set up, you couldn't really disseminate, which makes it even scarier.
So you have to take their word for it that it really was a tornado.
And it makes it even a whole, it really raises the bar of it being scary. So especially if you can't see it. You know something bad's coming.
Were the sirens going off?
Yeah, the sirens were going off. And I will tell you this, I had never seen this before. There was a green tint to a cloud that was very ominous looking that was right near my office. And Everybody was out with the cameras looking at it because they're like, oh,
they're taking pictures?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
they were that scared that they could take pictures.
Look, you had a moment of people who were, you know, you had a group of people who were really scared. And then you had a group of people that weren't really scared, you know, that were kind of like going, oh, this is kind of cool. And I kind of fell into the category of going, you know what? I think this is really cool. However, now that I'm getting older and I have a family, I know that there's like two sides of my brain going, this is kind of cool. The old Adam would just want to hang out and watch this. The newer version of
the
me
new
is
responsible
like,
Adam.
The responsible mm-hmm. Adam is like saying, you know what?
Maybe I should get some
you
cover
should probably
here.
Go inside because if something happens to you, your wife's going to be really, really angry.
But then something would have happened to you, so it really doesn't impact you anymore.
Right, right. So yeah, it was there was a lot of devastation. I saw a lot of devastation in when I was leaving, because my office didn't get hit, but I decided once the first wave went through and they said there was going to be worse in the afternoon, I said, I'm leaving, because the worst thing for me is I knew that if it was going to be worse in the evening, driving through at night where I can't see, that would be...
That's not good.
That's that's not good. That's terrible.
So when you contacted your people today, did they say it was bad?
Yeah.
Damage?
Well, first of all, what I heard I have friends in Tuscaloosa, I have friends in Birmingham, and I have friends in Huntsville. So I spoke to everyone. I also saw the footage today, and if anybody's seen the footage, it's spectacular and sad and crazy. I mean, there's over 200 people that have died. You know, University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa almost got clobbered. I mean, there's a lot of devastation in Tuscaloosa. Birmingham, I think, got it the worst and almost, you know, definitely worse than Huntsville. But Huntsville, it was going to be without power now for, I think, about 3 or 4 days. So they got Huntsville, the underlying areas around Huntsville. My office is in downtown Huntsville, was okay. But the underlying areas like Madison County, Decatur, Coleman, all these other little cities all around there got hammered. I mean, just, you know, Athens, they got hammered real bad. So, you know, lots of people, very little cell phone usage up there. Also, you know, I think they're going to be without water for for at least a couple of days, but it's really bad. It got really bad. So this was, Lee, I think you'll find this pretty funny. You know, my wife tends to worry a little bit. She's yes. if you were put people on the paradigm of worrying, she tends to be on the high end
she's
of worrying. I'm on the lower end of worrying, and so yesterday, so I say, listen, honey, I'm coming home from work early. The weather's bad. She's like, great. I'm so glad. That's great. So I get home, and I drive through some really bad areas, and I get home. And then those storms are now coming through Atlanta, right? The same storms. And the thing about these storms were supercells. These were devastating storms. They were not going away. They were traveling up towards us here. So I'm watching this and I'm like, I'm saying, honey, I think tonight we should have the kids sleep downstairs. She's like, no way. There's no need to alert them. No need to get them.
Ignorance is bliss.
I don't think we should do that. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. We have history of these storms being devastating in another state that's coming our way.
Not only do you have history, you saw them with your eyes.
Right. And they're coming our way. Meaning this isn't it. Like, you know, her response to me was, look, this happens. They, you know, I've been here before where you weren't here, and there have been terrible
always
storms.
Always a false alarm.
The weathermen
are always crying wolf.
And they're not saying it's going to come near us. I'm like, okay, but here's the difference. The difference is that those storms have the potential of creating devastation. These storms
have already created devastation.
They've already flexed mm-hmm. their muscles and showed us that they're big and bad, and they're coming our way. So, so the funny thing is she's like, well, you fell asleep. I'm like, you're right. I did fall asleep because I was exhausted from watching this weather all day long. I was exhausted. So by about 10:30, I was shot.
You were done.
So, but the TVs were on the entire night. But I will tell you the one thing I did notice about the coverage they have now is the coverage for tornadoes now is so elaborate. They have three-dimensional shots now. They have different score things. They have things that'll tell you the size of the hail
in the sky.
They'll tell you how high up the cloud. Like, I'm watching this going, this is amazing.
Weather has come a long way since we were
This is amazing. And the only thing that was missing was the
accurate forecasting.
or the helicopters in the air.
How could they have helicopters?
Showing us where these are. That was the only thing that was missing. No, not at night. They can't show you at night. But anyway, I was...
So you survived.
I survived. You know, no one that I know directly is dead from this, which I'm happy about.
How's your Auntie M?
My what?
Auntie M? She's good?
My Auntie M? Oh, no. I don't have an Auntie M.
No Auntie M?
No, but yeah, I saw lots of trees. You know, I saw like the trees that looked like they were sliced in half. You know, I saw the trees on top of houses. I saw power lines down, you know, where it's like, and you know, and these huge tree, like pulled out of the ground like it was nothing. Yeah, it was really, really, really crazy
that
stuff.
That Mother Nature.
Yeah, you can't predict it. You can't predict it. So crazy stuff. Anyway, what about you? Anything happened to you?
No, we had nothing. The weather here was fine. We didn't have that scary stuff that you were describing.
Well, I just, before we bring on our first guest, I want to talk to you about, I think I have the Dr. Fitness eating disorder. I think there's a new eating disorder that I have, and I wanted to share that with you.
Yeah, fire away. I'm all for eating disorders. Okay. I wish I had one.
Okay. I was reading this article about these new eating disorders. I think the article was written by a woman by the name of Lisa Collier Cool, like COOL.
Cool. What a great name.
Cool. And anyway, there's two types of new classified eating disorders. One is called adult selective eating.
Yes.
Adult?
Is that like a picky
selective
eater? That's
eating.
A picky eater?
Like kids, adult picky eaters limit themselves to an extremely narrow range of foods. Unlike those who suffer from anorexia, nervosa, or bulimia, adult picky eaters are seemingly not worried about calorie counts or body image. That fits me so far.
So
I'm
far,
into that.
Right on the money.
But so far, researchers don't know if adult picky eaters just haven't outgrown childhood eating patterns or their eating habits are a new twist of an obsessive compulsive disorder. OCD, little A's OCD.
Well, the good
which
thing
could
about
that
OCD,
fit me? That could fit
well,
me.
Well, the good thing when a doctor says that, now they can medicate you.
There's money to be made here.
There's money to be made.
Some may be super tasters. With an abnormally acute sense of taste that turns them off to certain foods.
That's a good way of saying you're picky. My taste is so super powered.
I'm hypersensitive. I have an acute sensitivity to
too
taste.
Too much flavor for my tongue.
Many appear to have had unpleasant childhood associations with food.
Oh, yeah. So not one kid has had a eaten something and gone, oh, this is disgusting.
So that's called adult selective eating. I think that fits me. I think I'm in.
I think you're in.
I think I'm in.
What's the
Sign
cure?
Me up.
What's the cure?
We didn't talk about that. Well, I'll tell you, they talk about the risk for this, but I'll talk about the other one, too. The other one I don't have, it's called orthorexia. And that was identified by a doctor by the name of Stephen Brotman. Brotman. We know a Brotman.
Probably the same guy.
In 1997 by a Colorado doctor. And it's the Latin for orthorexia is the Latin for correct eating. This type of condition is not on losing weight. Instead, sufferers increasingly restrict their diets to foods they consider pure, natural, and healthful. So
now that's a disorder. To eat pure, natural, healthful food is a disorder.
That is a disorder. They say that.
What's the cure for this? Drive-throughs at McDonald's?
But this is the combination. This is a touch of OCD. Sprinkle a little OCD.
You got to get that. I'm telling you.
And some anxiety.
Of course.
You put the anxiety and the OCD together.
And that's
what you get.
And you're only eating... You know,
and this is only
food.
Limited to healthy diets. This is like a prequel to anorexia nervosa, and you know. So if you start seeing this, you may be on your way to anorexia.
Good to know, doctor.
Yeah.
Good to know.
The problem with this, with the one I have, is that it definitely might lead to it. It says it leads to social isolation.
Yeah,
which could
possibly. I don't think you have to worry about that.
I think that could possibly happen to me. I know that's. You know, if we're going to, I'd rather eat at home where I can control all the moving parts.
Yes.
We got to dinner. I don't know what the hell I'm eating.
All
so
bets are off.
I could see that. So anyway, what do you think, Lee?
I
good
think
info.
That,
good news.
Good
stuff
to know.
To know.
Good to know.
Okay, let's bring on our first and only guest of the day today. We are excited to once again bring back our good friends, our good friend Chris Kaysen. He is the co-founder, the Tea Sommelier, the editor-in-chief of Tavalon Tea, and he's been with them for a long time. He's actually written a book. Is that truly?
I don't want to.
A Guide to Tea?
Yeah, I'll go with that.
What? Now he's an author.
Yeah. He's got a lot of free time.
I don't know. You see, this is what I don't understand about Chris. I know he recently got engaged. I know he could have really used the author title to really get a lot more women. I don't know why he settled so soon. I don't know why he did that, but we'll find out. Chris, welcome to the show.
Wow, what a great way to be welcomed on. Thank you, guys.
Chris, it's been a pleasure. We haven't talked to you in a while. Tavalon Tea, our official – the official tea of Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy. What is going on with Tavalon Tea? What's happening now?
Oh, wow. Well, first of all, how are you?
Well, we're safe. I'm safe. The fat guy is
I'm a little unsafe at all times.
Yeah, he's a little unsafe.
At any speed.
But we're okay here today in Atlanta. Atlanta kind of dodged the big bullet.
Chris, you there?
Oh, we might have lost him.
It sounded like we lost him.
Maybe that's him calling back.
Yes.
We are waiting to touch base with the co-founder, the Tea Sommelier, the editor-in-chief of Tavalon Tea, more than 10 years of research and development on loose-leaf teas, and he is the author of A Guide to Tea, and we are waiting to get him back on the phone. I'm waiting anxiously right now for the button to be hit.
He's back.
Chris is back.
Like magic.
Sorry about that. You know, the weather that you guys were having, we are on our way getting right now. So,
well, Chris,
I'm
guess
sorry
what?
If I get cut off.
Guess what? I got a chance to reintroduce you.
It was even better.
This one was even better. Yeah. I left out the whole thing about you getting engaged now and getting married and the author. I left that whole part out now. So
right.
You are now officially.
And he left out that whole part about the time you left Tavalon and worked at Starbucks for 6 months.
I'm back in my swinging bachelor days. Great.
Yes.
Perfect.
So what's going on?
So, a lot of great stuff is going on with Tavalon in the past year since we last talked. First of all, we got into one of the biggest food distributors in the United States. It's called UNFI, which means hopefully very soon your favorite health food store will be carrying Tavalon Tea.
Wow.
Which is very good news. We also got approved by probably the biggest food service distributor in the United States, which is Aramark, and which means that your company cafeteria or one of the like will hopefully soon be carrying Tavalon Tea as well.
So Tavalon Tea, it will no longer be it'll be everywhere. It will no longer be one of our best kept secrets. It will be everywhere. Everybody will know about Tavalon.
Yes, yes. We're constantly growing. We, as I'm sure you know by John Paul's conversation that he had, we're also growing hugely in Korea, almost as big as Tavalon U.S. now, actually. So we've got an international presence as well. I can't complain. Despite this economy, we're moving on the up and up.
Do you think that tea's going to catch on in Asia?
I think there's a possibility.
Now, tell us, you've written a book called The Guide to Tea.
I did. I wrote the book. That's actually how I met John Paul. I was in Las Vegas talking about my book at a tea conference, and I happened to see this young guy.
Wait, that's what you're going with? That's the story you're going to tell us, or that you just happened to be in Vegas? Because what we've heard, Chris, about Vegas, there's a whole other world that was going on. No, that didn't happen?
We don't talk about the other stuff that happens in Vegas. That stays there.
Okay. So you're in Vegas, and that's where you met with John Paul.
Yeah, he's walking around with his book, in Vegas, and there's John Paul. And John Paul's like, "Hey, I like tea too."
And that's as much of the story as I can tell you.
Now, where is most of the tea? Where is the tea, first of all, grown?
Well, most tea comes from, it's indigenous to a small part of India and mostly China.
Now, so is that the only place that it's actually grown is in India and China?
No, actually, now most of the tea in the world is grown in Argentina. That's where our the big commercial tea company that's alive and well in the United States. That's where they get most of their tea from.
Now,
but,
what type of environment do you need in order to grow tea that only India, China, and Argentina have that we can't seem to grow it in other places? What is unique about those environments that they can grow tea there?
Communist countries.
Well, I mean, you know, we actually do grow some tea in the United States. Actually, where I'm from, right next door to you guys is South Carolina.
Really?
In Charleston, they grow tea.
Really?
There's the American Tea Plantation, yes. Yep.
No kidding. I did not know that.
And in Hawaii, they're starting to grow tea. So it is, I mean, you can be, I'm actually growing tea in my backyard in beautiful northern New Jersey. So you can grow it pretty much anywhere.
Yeah. And I just got a prescription for medical tea here in Atlanta.
Medicinal tea.
Right.
Wow. So tell us first of all about the book. When you said you wrote a book about the guide to tea,
this is like 20 years ago.
I know, but I still want to know. I want to know how you got so deeply involved in tea. What was the thing that got you into tea, Chris?
Well, first of all, it wasn't 20 years ago. I'm not quite that old yet. I actually, you know, I was telling you about the tea plantation in South Carolina. It actually wasn't too far from my house.
Uh-huh.
So I grew up around real tea, and, you know, being a small-town country boy, I kind of figured everyone grew up around real tea. And then when I moved up north, I got a nasty little surprise. Most people are drinking this terrible tea made with the dust in the what we call in the industry fannings, which is basically the bottom of the barrel.
Ah.
And I said, I got to do something to change this. And so, you know, when I got out of college, I realized this is what I want to do. I want to talk about tea, tell people all the good stuff. Why real good tea is important?
Well, the good news about tea is that it's very hard to find anybody that will refute that the health benefits of tea. It's, you know, tea has really positioned itself now into a really good place because there's a lot of great studies that have shown, especially when it comes to green tea and white tea, how helpful it is for us.
Absolutely. I actually just saw this study that the BBC did, I think it was about 2 months ago, and they found that drinking tea is actually better for your body than drinking water.
Mm.
And that's pretty significant because they say water is the source of life. So,
yeah.
You know, I guess that makes tea the super source of life.
Right. Maybe tea actually purifies the water now. Maybe they're saying water isn't so good for you anymore.
Exactly.
And that we need some tea to clean out the water.
And what a delicious way of cleaning it.
Right.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about Tavalon and what makes Tavalon tea so awesome?
Besides you and John, Paul.
Oh, well, I mean, we're only the vehicles to get this great tea out to the masses. It's really the tea that speaks for itself. We source only the best tea from around the world, be it from India, Sri Lanka, Japan, South Africa, South America. And what we do, which is kind of unique, is we create these blends that are totally based on the American palate. So we're not trying to force the Asian tea or the English tea on the American palate, because if that worked, tea would be the number one beverage in the U.S. But the sad fact is it's not the number one. It's not the number two. It's number seven this year. So that
right.
shows that the tea companies out there really aren't doing something right. And in my opinion is, you got to kind of meet halfway. And so all of our blends are specifically catered to the American palate. And the way that we do that is through focus groups. So only the ones that score 8 out of 10 or above actually make the cut.
Wow. So 8 or 10, or you got to get at 8 out of 10, Lee, to get on Tavalon.
Now, when you're creating this blend, do you have, since you're from South Carolina, is there a fried chicken blend, you know, to capture the Southern cuisine?
Well, you know, I prefer the collard green tea. But
what about the crumbles of fried chicken? Because that's everybody's favorite part.
I haven't eaten lunch yet, and you're making me starve it.
See what happens with the fat guy? Chris, see what happens.
I try to get fried chicken in every meal.
That's what he's. That's how he rolls.
You're giving me good ideas now.
So when it comes to
that's amazing. It's a number seven beverage.
The tea,
yeah.
Out of all the things,
seven. I mean, that's like it's number one everywhere. Like I'm sure in Asia it's number one.
Absolutely.
It's like throughout the world it's number one. Here it's seven.
Now, Chris, yeah. Do you think that Tavalon Tea will get into actually creating your own beverage at some point? Because it's such a great name. Like it's such a, you know, like I see Tavalon Tea like, you know, is like its own beverage by itself. Do you think you will ever go in that?
Absolutely. So now one of our new projects is to create a bottled tea, but it's a bottled tea that's going to serve multiple purposes.
Dr. Fitness wants input on this because he has some. He's very particular.
Chris, I'm very. I've got some strong feelings about this. I will tell you, I'm going to divert some attention. There's the tea out there that I have found that I'm
don't
actually.
Don't tell him. It'll make him feel bad.
I don't want him to feel bad. I just want to let him know. No. You know, I've. Recently,
He has spent a lot of time researching this subject.
You know how this is how I research my teas. Well, I'm not talking about loose leaf teas. We're not talking about the stuff that you make at your house. We're talking about drinks that are
in a bottle,
right? That are processed,
pre-made, yeah,
right? That are pre-made. I will tell you, I go to Whole Foods. I always check to see if there's any new one, and I'll experiment with myself. And I'm always very rarely does a tea come along that
wows him
that I like. And one has come along that I really do enjoy. And it is the Honest Teas version, the new one in the plastic bottles of half tea, half lemonade. Now they have managed to put in only 40 calories, I believe.
It's the correct balance of sweetener and tea and lemon.
Yes, it's lightly sweetened. They don't throw in any of the artificially sweetened
crap. He doesn't like those.
Don't like that. I don't like that. And it's the perfect blend of just a lightly sweetened beverage and the right flavor and the right taste. Now, they have other ones that are terrible. That's the only one so far that has made the grade with me. Now, I really enjoyed that. And I will tell you that Peach Snapple is a tea, right, Lee?
That was his old favorite.
That was my old favorite. Raspberry and peach were my favorite, but too many calories. It's too much. I don't need
absolutely
all the sugar. I don't need it. It's killing me.
So now here, I'm going to give you this. This is on me, Chris. You're welcome. If you can create a tea that combines tea with coconut water, the Dr. Fitness will do cartwheels all the way up to Brooklyn and get it from you.
Yeah, that might be something to add in there. If there's a way to combine coconut water and tea flavored, that would be
great. You know, if I told you, Doctor, that we were already working on that.
You're kidding me. Look at that.
I hope you'll start the cartwheel.
You're kidding me. You see, the people...
That's how cutting edge they are.
They're just smarter. They're smarter up in Tavalon. They know. They're already doing their research and knowing what to do. So
it's all the tea we drink.
It's all the tea you drink, absolutely. So you guys are really doing some serious work into creating this beverage.
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. Wow. The kind of interesting thing about these, I don't know if you know this, but one of my side projects is trying to bridge non-tea drinkers into the tea drinking world is if you can't, you know how we say in New York, if you can't get people to come, give them free booze.
Yes, I say that too. That's how I met my wife.
So the new idea is to create these ready-to-drink beverages that are delicious by themselves, but also make great mixers.
So, oh, nice.
Very good. Very, very good. Very smart. So I guess there's a lot of partying going on at Tavalon right now.
We call it product development.
Product development. That's great. That's really good.
So how did those blooming tea things go? You sell a lot of those?
Oh, we do. We do. The blooming tea, in case everyone's not familiar with it, when he says blooming teas, he means these teas that look like a little ball. And then when you drop them in water, they unfurl, the leaves come open, and it's almost like a ballet. In the industry, it's actually called the agony of the leaves. It's a very poetic. I don't know if you know this, but these are actually handmade. There's an old guy in China that literally sits there with a string and a bunch of leaves and hand makes these things.
Is that
they're pretty intense.
That sounds awesome. Now, is there a way – have you looked also, Chris, into another passion of mine is making sangria. Is there a way to make sangria and put sangria –
Santia.
And put – Santia. There you go. Is there a way to put tea into sangria?
There is. I've done it. And if you go to my blog, which is www.tavalon.com/blog, and click on the recipes section, you'll actually see – I think I have two different – tea sangrias, one white, one red recipe.
And how did it come out? How did you like it?
I've been to Barcelona where you can find the best sangrias in the world, and I got to say, this is right up there with them.
You're kidding.
It's
really
man. Delicious.
That
so
sounds
now,
like you're bragging.
So now,
Chris.
Do you brew the tea? Do you brew the tea and then put it in, or do you put the leaves in? You know, because the sangria, you're not heating it up. You're not heating the wine up, but so you brew the actual tea and then add it together? Is that what happens?
Usually that's how you do it, or a combination of the two sometimes works. Like half of it is pre-steeped, half of it you steep in there.
Okay.
The big thing that you want to stay away from is literally just because, like you said, you're not going to heat it up. You don't want to leave the tea leaves in there too long. Bacteria kind of really
right.
like bent tea leaves, and we want to avoid infections when at all possible.
Good tip.
I always recommend, even with iced tea, the sun tea that us Southerners are so familiar with, I always try to talk people out of that. Because basically, if you don't know what sun tea is, it's throwing tea leaves in water and putting it out in the sun all day.
Right.
And that is a health code violation.
But Chris, this might open up a whole other market for you in adding the probiotics into the tea
to kill the bacteria
that once you've consumed it, now you throw in a little probiotic.
So it evens out.
Well, have you heard of kombucha?
No, I have not. Tambucha?
Kombucha, it's kind of an interesting concept. Whole Foods carried it for a while, then they had to get rid of it because it contains a slight amount of alcohol, and it's not really regulated how much alcohol it contains. So then they started regulating it, and now Whole Foods carries it again. Basically what kombucha is you take a tea, sugar, and then you introduce it to some sort of, it's called a mother or a SCOBY, where it's like a yeast.
Uh-huh.
And you're not drinking the tea, you're not drinking the sugar, you're not drinking the yeast. You drink the byproduct of the yeast eating all this stuff. It's an interesting concept. I think it originally comes from China, but they grow it in Japan, and it's becoming increasingly more popular in the United States because among those people like you were talking about with the healthy food addictions. Those are the type of people.
Can we throw it in an energy drink? I think if we threw it in an energy drink, we'd sell a lot of it.
I probably could.
Well, it seems like, Chris, there's a lot of things that are going on in Tavalon world and a lot of great stuff that's going on. I also know that you recently got engaged. And maybe it might have been time that you might be getting married soon. The marriage might be coming up.
I've got about 2 months left of freedom.
Now, is there any way of incorporating tea into the wedding? Has that been discussed?
They're going to throw tea leaves instead of rice.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know if we would throw tea leaves because, you know, the tea that we get, I would rather drink it than step on it.
Right.
But we are at the wedding, instead of the traditional cocktails, we're going to do tea cocktails. And at the end, when they usually serve coffee to tell everyone to get out, we're going to be serving tea to tell everyone to get out.
Very good.
So, wow. That sounds like a great idea. Now, for our listeners out there, if you go to Tavalon.com and the website, you can buy loose leaf tea there.
And now they have it in the little packets.
And there's,
that's new.
Absolutely.
There's great stuff on the website, and you guys are always doing stuff on the website and promoting. There's always great little sales things. I get emails all the time. I love it. Tell anything that's changed on the website, Chris. Anything you want to tell the listeners about some of the products that you have there as well? New products that might be there?
Well, not only do we have those the little sachets that are new, we hand make every one of those sachets, by the way. So
who doesn't? You or John Paul?
Oh, you know, we sit at home and keep both of us together. And
while
you
know, watching we, Jersey Shore, you make a bunch of sachets.
It's pumping the whole time, yeah. And, you know, and we also have iced tea sachets, which is kind of interesting. We think of a regular tea bag, but five times the size. So you just throw that in a half gallon of water,
and you're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah.
Oh, that
which
sounds
is very
good.
Important in these upcoming summer months.
That's right.
You need to stay well hydrated, and iced tea, especially unsweetened iced tea, is a very healthy way of doing it.
That's right.
You can make your own lemon iced tea, doctor.
Right, and then you can control the amount of sweetness you want instead of having to be forced to drink 140 calories.
That's crazy talk.
Per serving. We want less.
Absolutely.
Well, Chris,
and I think it's kind of cool, too, because, you know, we can do a ton of different teas as iced tea. Most Americans are only familiar with iced tea as just a standard black tea, but I happen to think that oolong tea makes a far superior iced tea than your regular black tea.
Well, Chris, as Dr. Fitness, I don't know if you know my resume, but I have accomplished many things in my life. But one of the things that is still
left, most modest at his high school.
One of the things that is on my bucket list of things to do, Chris, is before I leave this earth, I want to be involved in creating a tea that my legacy is looked back on. I want a flavor that's looked upon and said, I was part of something that was huge and people can now enjoy. Is there any way for me to be involved in the taste or something?
Can't you
that's
make him
tea?
Part of the focus group?
Yes. Is there any way I can be part of this focus group to come up with a tea that will be easy? Because here's the problem, Chris.
I fell in love
with this tea. The problem is that, you know, these companies, they may decide if they don't sell enough, it's gone. It's not coming back.
Like, yeah.
I love that product that Coke put out, that little hint of lime with the water.
Gone.
Yeah.
Guess what? People didn't like it. I loved it. And it didn't go. So I try to blog about it. I try to promote it.
He's only one man.
My ventures
He's only
all
one man.
Failed. But maybe with Tavalon, that might change. Can I be involved in a focus group?
Absolutely. I'm actually working out one of those iced tea sachets I was talking about that not only has black tea, but it has a lemonade mix
pre-mixed into it.
So you can have your half and half.
Wow.
So,
I will
personally put you on the top of the list
at
our focus group.
Now we're talking. Now we're talking, Chris, because you know what?
And then you sweeten it yourself. It's your sweetener.
Absolutely.
You do it yourself.
See that? Maybe I need to be trained in
to be a sommelier.
Maybe I need to be Dr. Fitness sommelier. I need to be a part of this.
Well, come on up to New York.
I know. That's where all the
Chris,
training happens.
What tea sommelier school did you graduate from?
Well, so far in the U.S., the title is a little more vague than that. There is actual tea sommelier training in Canada. You can get it in Asia, in China, in India. I actually studied in China and India, so I have received some official training. Now, what we're looking to do kind of in the far future is actually start a, not necessarily Tavalon specific, but a tea in general, where we encourage all the tea professionals to take a part of it, to create a tea sommelier program in the United States.
Yeah,
I like it.
It's
a good
idea. I like it.
I hate when these people are recommending tea to me at those stores. You know, and
they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know
what
they're talking about.
They take an online class and they think they're an expert.
Well,
absolutely.
Well, Chris, it's always a pleasure talking to you and to have our friends, the official tea of Dr. Fitness the Fat Guy. Tavalon Tea is our official tea. You can go to Tavalon.com. There's great products there. Great loose leaf teas. There's the sachets now that are there. And the products that you can actually brew your tea in, right, Lee?
They got the little gravity tea box.
The gravity tea box, the wonderful stuff there. Chris, always a pleasure to talk to you, and congratulations on on soon to be married, joining the world of.
Right, we haven't got our invitation, but I'm sure it's here coming shortly.
He hasn't gotten
your gift. It's in the mail.
Well, he hasn't gotten your gift yet, Lee. Yes. So that'll
usually the invitation comes before the gift.
You don't need to. Yes. You can. You're a very giving guy.
In my culture, that's how we do it.
Chris,
well, I appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for having me again.
Listen,
I can't wait to talk to you.
I hope if you're coming through Atlanta anytime soon, please stop by, come up to the studio, meet with us. Let's talk tea. Let's sit down. Let's drink some tea. We'll make some sangria.
Three cups of tea.
We'll make some Santia. Mm-hmm. We'll do whatever we have to do to move Tavalon to the next level.
Let's do it.
All right, thanks.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Take care, Chris. Have a great day.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
That was Chris Kaysen. He is the co-founder, Tea Sommelier of Tavalon Tea. Go check them out at Tavalon.com. Tavalon, that's T-A-V-A-L-O-N.
Right, that's the only place I buy tea. Period. End of sentence. Done. They're the best.
And when you're online, make sure you check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. All one word. That's where you got to go. So go there, tell your friends, because it's important that you tell everybody, we need more friends. We need more listeners.
I don't know why this is difficult.
Well, maybe we're not clear.
We have to tell them to do this.
Maybe we're not clear enough.
Okay.
Maybe we need them to do more stuff.
Look,
they have to work.
Just share. Share our stuff.
Yes. Tell
everybody
about us.
Send it to your friends. If you don't like it, send it to your enemies. Just send it to somebody.
And also, one of the things you can also do is go buy our book, 37 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids. 37?
Well, my book is 35 things, but you wrote another book, 37? I have no idea. This
is the paperback version. We have new paperback versions coming out. There's two new ones that are coming out. We're adding two new tips. These are the tips you can't even believe. Yes. They're unbelievable. So go buy our book, 35 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids. Turner Publishing, great book. Or tell some big company to buy thousands of them. Yeah. That's even better. That helps us a lot.
Our friends at New Step did.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly what they did. Okay. I had something else to talk about before we go.
Good.
Or do you want to go?
No, I want you to.
Is there something else you want to talk about?
Look, I am here for you.
I wanted to tell you, you're not going to believe this. First of all, did you know that Oprah's friend is opening up a restaurant here? Did you know that?
I didn't know Oprah is a real friend or a fake friend.
No, Oprah has a friend. I don't have the article in front of me. Let me see.
I'll just take your word for it.
No,
Atlanta has a lot of restaurants.
She has a friend, guy that's opening up. And over by where you're going to open up a new studio over there. Or maybe, allegedly. Oh, here it is. Here it is.
Go ahead. You got this.
Yes. Former Oprah chef. This was Oprah's personal chef. His name is...
Jenny Craig.
Art Smith. Yes. And he is opening up a restaurant, and it looks like it's across from the Intercontinental.
Intercon in Buckhead.
The Intercontinental Hotel. Yes. Let's see. Let me see where it is. It is. Yeah. Oh, I take it back. It's tomorrow. Let's see. Lee here. It's some French name. I can't pronounce it.
That's how good it is. I don't like
French
like food.
It's like APD Conchon will become a nouveau southern restaurant.
Nouveau southern.
At the Intercontinental. It's in the Intercontinental. Oh. It's actually in the Intercontinental.
Oh, so they're getting rid of their restaurant there.
Yes, yes.
I've eaten at that restaurant.
It's their new restaurant will be Art Smith. He is, he's the person.
He must be the new chef.
He's the new chef. You like those type of restaurants. You check these out with your wife, don't you?
I've been to the previous one where it was before they took over.
Well, how was that
too
one?
Too fancy for me.
Yeah.
I don't like fancy.
I do
not like fancy.
Yeah, so...
I'm mid-market. I'm not like the hoity-toity people that you normally hang around with.
So that was the name of the old place, Au Bon de Conchon.
Right.
It's going to be called now Red Velvet.
Yeah,
that's
because
the new
people
name.
Couldn't pronounce the other thing.
Right. Why would you have a name that you can't pronounce?
Because it was French, and they're a little snobby over there at the Intercom.
Oh, really? I would hate, I would never, I wouldn't go, just because I couldn't pronounce the name.
Exactly.
I'm serious, I wouldn't go.
That's why I don't order filet mignon.
You know what that actually means? The en pomp.
It's something with a pig,
I think. Foot of the pig.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's an awesome
name,
huh?
That's a great name.
Yeah.
It's a great name for a restaurant.
Surprised it didn't catch on. It's like Boca Raton. That's why it's called Boca Raton.
Right.
Well, what does Boca Raton mean?
Mouth of the rat.
Yeah. That wouldn't be as sexy.
That's not good.
The rich and famous wouldn't be hanging around rat mouth.
Right. Not good. Lee, May 1st is the inaugural International Barefoot Running Day. Just want to let you know, in case you were planning on walking or running.
You're not a big barefoot runner.
Nope. Not.
You're not going to do it?
I think it's a good idea for a lot of people, but I'm not going to do
it. For others?
Yes. If I can run on a golf course, I would do it. Barefoot.
The beach.
Yeah, the beach. Beach is another good place to do that. May 1st. So if you're thinking about doing anything on May 1st, make sure you do that. Also, you're not going to believe this when I tell you this. I don't know if you're going to like this or not like this. I just thought it was funny. But there is word that some states are going to require listing kids' BMI scores on the report cards.
That's good. How about if you just tattoo it to their forehead? How about that?
This is what I don't understand. This is what I'm just a little bit unclear about. They're going to put the BMI score on the report card. What active role in a positive impact is the school making on changing a kid's BMI?
Yeah, but I don't even buy BMI as the measurement.
Well, okay, I'll agree with you on that. It's not even a good standard, but you're not even serving up healthy food, and you're taking away PE.
And you're like, you're fat. Your kid's fat. Like, we're not doing anything about that here.
If they're doing double sessions of PE, all right, I'm good with that.
Right.
You know, having a salad bar and making sure kids know about food and why it's so important, and cooking food and having the experience of that,
right?
Then I think it's a great thing. But to put it on the report card?
Now, you know what else they're doing? The government is, it's going to be against the rules, I think, to bring your lunch.
You can't bring lunch to school? That's what the school, some states are going to want their kids not to be able to bring.
Because people bring junk food.
I thought you were going to say they bring in guns.
No, well, they do that.
And knives and instruments of mass destruction.
So they want to have them control their food intake.
I see.
Which they don't do it in a good way. You
know,
in any system where French fries is a vegetable, it's a flawed to begin with.
Right. Also, Lee, if you want to buy milk, where's the best place to buy milk?
At a dairy farm.
No.
No.
Let's say for savings, cost savings.
Cost savings, I would buy it at Costco.
Okay. That's where you would be wrong.
Really?
Yeah. Actually, the best place to buy, I'll tell you, let's start off with the places that you shouldn't buy it. Number one, at a convenience store.
Yes, I try not to do my grocery shopping
at the
convenience
store. Don't buy it there. You're going to pay top dollar for that. The best place, apparently, to buy milk, because they buy it in bulk in terms of, and they're turning it over a lot, is your local supermarket.
Probably use it as a loss leader.
Right.
To get you in.
Right. And exactly. What they're doing is they're trying to get you in to buy other things, right? Because you're buying that, you need to get that consistently.
Exactly.
So, and the best one to get is the store brand. I don't even know if there is be a milk brand that I don't even know.
When I was a kid, it was Velda Farms.
Oh, okay. So if you have Mayfield is one. Right. So they're saying don't buy those. Buy just the store brand.
Because they're all the same.
Exactly. And the last thing I have, Lee, is that the Federal Trade Commission is cracking down.
That would have been a good wellness minute. Could have saved that for a wellness minute.
I'll bring it in next week.
Bring it back.
I'll get it for next week. What should it be about? Milk?
Milk.
How to save money on milk?
Exactly.
How to shop for milk?
Done.
What
there
not to do?
That's only four for next week now.
What about how to open up a new restaurant? Have a friend like Oprah?
Oprah, that helps.
That'll be another wellness minute. We'll do that. Okay. FTC is cracking down on the Asahi Berry ads. All those things you're saying? Yes.
You mean they're misrepresenting?
Yeah, well, let me tell you what's happened. I don't know if you've seen the ads, though. Apparently, there are lots of ads generating millions and millions of dollars for somebody.
Yes.
That's saying that you can lose lots of weight
with
the Asahi Berry.
That's another food I can't pronounce the name right.
Akai. It's spelled Akai. Asahi Berry. And so they're cracking down. Apparently, they've linked them to Oprah and Rachel Ray. Somehow they put some sort of Rachel Ray
talked about a commercial during the Rachel Ray show.
Right. So they're linking it with them. But they're shutting down these fake websites, these websites that are generating lots and lots of money. So people out there, if you're listening and you're buying this stuff, don't buy it. I'll tell you what you can buy. Buy a present or buy something for us.
Yes.
Right. Buy, get
if you're going to waste your money, waste it on something
like
that.
Yeah, something that's important.
We'll appreciate
it. Yeah, money for us to keep doing the show. We'd like that. So that's all, what's in the news. And you got anything before we wrap up?
No, that was a full day.
I want to thank our great
friend. Glad you survived the tornado.
Yep, a lot of tornado stuff. Maybe I'll give a wellness minute next week, how to survive a tornado.
Yeah, that's good.
I want to thank our buddy Chris Kaysen from Tavalon Tea. And go to Tavalon.com. Great stuff there. Great products. I'm glad to hear they're doing really, really well. They're moving and shaking. We knew them when they were just like
this.
Just
little. They were a small little tea bag.
Remember, Tavalon Tea is the official tea of Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy.
That's right.
Don't forget that. For Lee Cantor, I am Dr. Adam Shaffron, because every week we are making healthy living
fun for everyone.
We will see you next time.